From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today he commences a second message on the theme of praying, Thy Kingdom Come, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is called A Covenant He Remembers. The text is Psalm 111, verse 5. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Those who fear God need not fear want. Through all these long years, the Lord has always found meat for his own children, whether they have been in the wilderness, or by the brook Kereth, or in captivity, or in the midst of famine. Hitherto the Lord has given us day by day our daily bread, and we doubt not that He will continue to feed us till we want no more. As to the higher and greater blessings of the covenant of grace, He will never cease to supply them as our case demands. He is mindful that He made the covenant, and never acts as if He regretted it. He is mindful of it when we provoke Him to destroy us. He is mindful to love us, keep us, and comfort us, even as He engaged to do. He is mindful of every jot and tittle of His engagements, never suffering one of His words to fall to the ground. We are sadly unmindful of our God, but He is graciously mindful of us. He cannot forget His Son, who is the surety of the covenant, nor His Holy Spirit, who actively carries out the covenant, nor His own honor, which is bound up with the covenant. Hence the foundation of God standeth sure, and no believer shall lose his divine inheritance, which is his by a covenant of salt.
Lord, what more can He say than to you?
these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity, ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Continuing his studies on the subject of prayer, Dr. Cairns is examining the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. In his first message on this petition, Dr. Cairns explained that the kingdom to which the Savior is referring is not God's rule over his creation, That is an established fact, something for which we do not need to pray. Rather, this is the kingdom of grace, that rule which Christ exercises in the hearts of those who have acknowledged him as their Savior and Lord. As we've already seen, this kingdom is personal, present, and powerful. Believers in Christ are now part of that kingdom in which the Savior reigns in his sovereign power. As Dr. Cairns continues to examine the implications of this petition, he says that it embodies a prayer for salvation. It is vital that each person seek to enter this kingdom by personally receiving Christ as Savior. Now to continue this theme, Thy Kingdom Come, Praying for the Reign of Grace, here is Dr. Cairns.
We return this morning to our studies in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, we come to verse 10. And we're dealing with the very first clause in the verse, the petition that is second in the Lord's Prayer. Having prayed, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now the Savior tells us to pray, Thy kingdom come. Before we can understand what we mean when we pray, Thy kingdom come, we must understand what the Scripture means by Thy kingdom. We took some time to look at that because it is a very simple sounding term, but it's a very complex term. And it's a term that appears in both Testaments, but preeminently in the New Testament, that has many, many aspects to it. When the Scripture speaks of the kingdom as it's related to God, it speaks of a kingdom of government, His universal sovereignty over heaven, earth, and hell, at all times, under all circumstances. And obviously, that is not the kingdom of which the Lord Jesus is speaking when he says, you should pray, Thy kingdom come. That kingdom is not coming. That kingdom is. And you could no more pray that God would be sovereign than you could pray that God would be. God is. And because he is sovereign. He cannot be anything else but sovereign. We may pray that men would recognize that sovereignty and in repentance and faith embrace that sovereignty. But we cannot pray that that sovereign rule and kingdom of God would come, for it is always in existence, and that kingdom ruleth over all. Obviously, it's a much more specialized use of the term that the Lord Jesus has in mind, and I took some time to trace how the Scriptures speak of the kingdom of His grace. And we certainly may pray that that would come. And then that issues into the kingdom of His glory. And we also should pray that that would come. When we combine those ideas, we came to the conclusion that the kingdom of God, first of all, is personal. It is equivalent to entering into life, according to the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 19. It's personal. The kingdom of God starts, as far as we are concerned when we pray this prayer, in our own heart and experience. Then it is present. The Lord Jesus said, the kingdom is in the midst of you, in Luke 17, verse 21. He said in Matthew 12, if I by the finger or hand of God cast out devils, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. So it is already present. That same verse in Matthew 12, 28 shows that it is a very powerful kingdom, because it is a kingdom that comes by the destruction of satanic forces, by the casting out of the devil and all his powers. Jesus says, I, by the finger of God, cast out devils. That's the great proof of the presence of this mighty kingdom. It is the destruction of satanic power. And of course, it is prophetic. It is yet to come. It's here, but yet it's coming. In other words, it has not yet been manifested in its full development. There are yet stages and ages to come in the development of the kingdom of God and of heaven. There are some folk who want us to believe there is only one age to come. But the scriptures speak of the ages that are to come. And being a good old-fashioned historic premillennialist, I believe there is a millennial age in which Christ will reign. And there is, of course, the eternal age in which in the new heaven and the new earth, God's kingdom will be absolute in its grace and in its glory. Daniel 7 we looked at in those connections. Now, that's the background. The Lord Jesus expects us to grasp those things as we pray now, Thy kingdom come. Because these are the things that enable us to approach the text and understand what we're praying. Now, what do we mean, therefore, when we pray, Thy kingdom come? Well, obviously, this is something we're asking of our Father in heaven. What we're asking Him is that He would advance the reign of His grace through the Lord Jesus Christ in us and in the world. And then that He would hasten the final establishment of Christ's reign in glory. Now this is what we're praying for. Father, Thy kingdom come. Advance the reign of grace through Christ in us and in the world, and then hasten the glorious final establishment of Christ's mighty reign. Now, it's easy to say that. What I want to do this morning is very simply, and since I have covered most of the ground a couple of Sunday mornings ago, very briefly, people can hardly believe that these Sunday morning studies have been brief, but they have been. Some of them have been going out Sunday evenings on WMUU, and they've been so brief that we have had congregational singing, two choir pieces, Dr. Barrett leading in prayer, and Stephen Lee playing a special from his CD, organ CD, at the end of the broadcast. So you'll see that I have really been setting a new standard for brevity. And perhaps I'll live up to it again this morning. But what I want to do is take five aspects of this one petition. What do I mean specifically when I'm asking God to advance the reign of grace through Christ in us and in the world and hasten the glorious kingdom of His Son? First of all, this prayer means, let me enter into life by Jesus Christ. Remember what we saw in Matthew 19? The Lord Jesus there is dealing with the man we call the rich young ruler. Verse 16 says, Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt enter into life. Notice what this is all about. Having eternal life. Entering into life. The rich young ruler heard what the Savior had to say, which was, Go sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. And he turned away. He went away very sorrowful because he had great possessions. And this is what the Savior said, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again he said, It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that reply will tell you many things. First of all, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are two descriptions of the same kingdom. The old dispensational notion that they are different things is altogether without warrant in Scripture. Secondly, it shows you, and this is very important, when Jesus said to the rich young ruler, I'm talking to you about entering into life. He was talking about entering into the kingdom. Therefore, when a man comes to the Lord Jesus, or through him to the Father, and he says, Thy kingdom come. He's praying individually and personally. And first and foremost, there is the place, or the petition, Lord, I strongly, honestly, earnestly desire a place in your kingdom. I want to enter into life by repentance, by faith in Jesus Christ, on God's terms. Underline that. For that's the essence of entering the kingdom. On God's terms. Set forth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The rich young ruler was intensely sincere in seeking a place in the kingdom. The rich young ruler was excellent in his morals. He could look the Son of God in the face, and as much as any man on earth could possibly say concerning the commandments of God, I have kept these from my youth up. He could do that. Sincere, moral, religious, interested in having a place in eternal life, a place in the kingdom of God. And yet, he turned away, still outside the kingdom, still outside of life, sincerely, religiously, morally, on his way to hell. And what was the problem? The problem was the problem that so many people today still have. And that is an unwillingness to come under the rule of Jesus Christ. A willingness to have life, a desire to have a place in God's kingdom, but on his own terms. An unwillingness to have Christ as Lord and King of his life. If ever you want an insight into what is foolishly called the Lordship Salvation Controversy, this is the passage to turn to, or at least it is one key passage to turn to. If ever a man could have said, I will have Christ as my Savior, but I don't want him as my Lord, that man was the rich young ruler. And if he had been in most fundamental churches today, he would have been welcomed and baptized and brought into the church, still on his way to hell, as a man who had Christ as his Savior, but he simply didn't acknowledge him as Lord. And you can't do it. If you're going to pray, Thy kingdom come, it starts in your own heart. It is hypocritical to pray, Thy kingdom come in the world, when I don't want it in my own heart. And to want it in your own heart, to desire it in your own soul, is willingly to come under the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ as King and Lord. This is a biblical definition or description of true repentance. And that's how a person enters into the kingdom.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.